Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another session of Urban Society. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. I'm your host, James A. Jones, and I'm not here with my co-host as of yet still. I understand he'll be back next week, and we shall be waiting for that. But in the meantime, the show must go on. And we have some topics for tonight. Our first topic that we're going to go into will be the Farrakhan Gathering. Some call it 10-10-15. Some call it the heading of this march here or gathering was Justice or Else. And the second topic will be the Tamir Rice situation, new developments. And the third topic will be what is intersectionality. And our fourth topic will be mental illness and gun violence, question mark. So with that said, I also want to say that, we're getting deeper into winter. I have to say that. We're up here in New York, and New York, as I said before, it gets quite cold, but thus far, the weather has been merciful with us. Granted, it's only early October, but still I'm saying the weather has been merciful with us. I only hope that the entire winter is just as merciful, but time will tell. So, okay, I recall last week, I believe it was, I left off with the issue of denial. And what I was trying to bring up by way of my Android phone was a word called gaslighting, which was a word that was in the article about denial. And last week, I really wanted to have brought that definition to the minds of those of you listening, because I found it quite interesting and also quite revealing in terms of even in terms of things that I've gone through due to the mindset or the abusive mindset of others, racist mindset, therefore abusive mindset of others. The definition that I wanted to put forth last week, which I will do now, is gaslighting, or gaslighting, gas-lighting. It says, is a form of mental abuse in which information is twisted or spun, selectively omitted to favor the abuser, or false information is presented with the intent of making victims doubt their own memory, perception, and sanity. Instances may range simply from the denial by the abuser that previous abuse incidents have occurred, staging of bizarre events by the abuser with the intention of disorienting the victim. I found that most interesting because, as I said, I've been around people who sought to put that over on me, stuff like that. But I always say, I'm a nice guy, not a dumb guy. I always say that to males and females alike, both. I have to tell them that because evidently, because I'm a nice guy, they automatically assume I'm a dumb guy and thus think they can do whatever, however. Don't work like that. So also, still in reference to the last week issue of denial, I wanted to have got this out the way first, because I also wanted to have brought up something in reference to denial, in reference to our president, President Obama. I always say, well, God bless him. I mean, he's whatever he is, but still, God bless him. He's a black man, and, he's representative, I will say, of us to the racist who think that we can't do what he is doing. Never dreamed that we could do what he is doing, which is running this country. and they are hating it, and I am loving it, but that's another situation. Excuse me. Okay, what I want to say here, I want to read something I had read. Well, read something that I wrote in reference to something I had seen via a news clip interview with President Obama in it. It was something in reference to the prison industrial complex or the school-to-prison pipeline. Both those terms can be interchangeable. And in reference to, well, the question to the president was if he thought our criminal justice system was racist. And he, in my opinion, was a whole lot denialistic. He was in denial about our racist. He was in denial about our criminal justice system being racist. But what he said was it wasn't racist. He said it was biased. And then he went further to illustrate what he meant by it being biased, but at the same time illustrating how our criminal justice system and the school-to-prison pipeline and the prison industrial complex all seem to gravitate toward picking black individuals out of the population and putting them in prison. Anyway, in reference to that, I had said, being biased and being racist aren't the same thing. Lawyers and politicians deal in words. If they are intelligent, they know what they are saying and why they are saying what they are saying. He just gave America a pass to continue on with the abuse of black people, one with the mindset of a Frederick Douglass wouldn't have. And then President Obama had said something about the system needs to be changed, or all of the parameters of the system need to be looked at. President Obama said, quote, from soup to nuts. I asked, what does that mean, from soup to nuts? Well, that's what the president said, that the whole system does need to be looked at from the aspect of from soup to nuts. Anyway, I also had written that when Trayvon Martin was killed, the president said if he had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Many took that as him having said enough. Racist took that as him having said too much and him having spoken out of bounds. George Zimmerman walked. Blacks are still shipped off to prisons quick, fast, and hurriedly. And all the time, our president is in denial about our criminal justice system being racist or not. It's an old refrain. I got it from Lewis Carroll in his book entitled Alice in Wonderland, wherein Humpty Dumpty says to, well, no, it's not Humpty Dumpty. Yes, it is Humpty Dumpty. He says to Alice that, well, she has said to him, you know, the thing is, you can make words mean so many things. And then he has said something like, more so about, you have to say what you mean. No, no, how you put that. He said the best thing to do is say what you mean, not what you mean to say. I may be saying that wrong, but it's words along those lines. No, no, no. He has said that the gist is using words to mean just what I want them to mean, which in a sense is saying the same thing, you know, saying what you want to say as opposed to saying what you want to mean. Interesting. So anyway, going now on into our first issue, our first topic, the Farrakhan gathering, as I call it, the 10-10-15, the Justice or Else March. That's what it was billed as. Now, first off, I'll say that I hope I do have some callers to call in and give their input on this, because I'm quite sure that a lot of us did watch that march, or were looking to hear what Minister Louis Farrakhan had to say by way of TV, as well as those of us who went there. But being on Facebook, a lot of my Facebook friends were talking about this situation. And I wrote some things there on Facebook as well, and I figured that I would bring these things to the show. And one thing that I had written was, I don't know why we and or so many of us still listen to Farrakhan. I listened to his speech yesterday. He basically said the same things he was saying in the 1970s. Speaking about God's wrath in particular. Black folk need not do anything about our situation in this country. God's going to do it for us. God's going to send the forces of nature against the wicked country, against this wicked country and its rulers. We're going to see storms, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions like we've never seen before if America doesn't change its pattern of oppressing black people. America is always changing its pattern of oppressing us. Hence, the delay of God's divine justice on America. Oh, well. I mean, that is a fact, that this country, the leaders in our country, our politicians, are always changing the pattern of our oppression in this country. Over the years, throughout the years. And we can bring up thus far three major instances of those changes. Okay, one, we're going to have a break in about a minute, but I'm going to try to say this firstly and then continue on, because we have a minute, and a minute goes slow and or fast, depending. Well, anyway, one of those changes was, well, the first thing was slavery. It changed us from a free people to an enslaved people, per law. The second change was the ending of slavery, and then we going into a period of segregation. That was the second change. And now the third change in this day is, as some call it, the school-to-prison pipeline and or the prison-industrial complex. But having said that, we now are going to go into our break. It's 15 minutes to the hour. And our first song is from Memphis Moe, entitled Everlasting. Memphis Moe, Everlasting. We'll be right back.
Oh. You know who it is. Memphis Moe, baby. Caviar Dream. We doing everything.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
I know you see me in the slingshot. Up and down I 75, moving through the traffic, and your bitch look like she wanna ride. It don't have no top, that mean you ride it in the summertime. She took off her top and then remind me that it's summertime. Hop inside, take a spin, Instagram pic, tell your friend. You riding with a half today, plus my niggas pulling in. Girl, don't be acting silly, backwards what we rolling in. Pop the seal and pull up or pull up for that permit scene. Keeping the G's, just pimping at me. Caviar Dreams, that is the team, and that is what life and luxury mean. I pull up in a Sprinter made by Benz, I'm swooping and swapping the foreign. Except for the Escalade, it was too clean. You tell me I can't and I do it again. You tell me I can't and I do it again. We got lip balm, nigga, hand spray. Trap bounce like a spring set. Stunt with the money, but I ain't baby. I'm skydiving all out in Vegas. I was one card away from a million bucks. I got my poker face with this tough look. I got my pints in and ran my check up. And I'm right back in and it's big.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
Well, TRU affiliated. Street execs, so we'll break your neck. Got lawyers on backup. If you want to act up, we come from the bottom. I don't want to back up. Got weapons I don't know how to pronounce, and you just might want to back up. These niggas be copying and pasting what we do. I call them snackers selling the dream. Lying about what you can do in your scene. I call them actors. Got a big fam, but when I'm alone, gotta keep the tone. Call me a packer. Never been a hater. Only paper chaser. Schedule kind of fool. Maybe see you later. Wasn't really cool. Running into you. Just got a call. Said she wanted school. Did I fail to mention it was from your boo? Said that I'm a dude. Shit that you won't do. Said she got dinner removed for two. But I'ma pass it up and leave it to you. Cause I got a truckload of work. I gotta move. I got some other stuff that I gotta do. I'm fishing in Florida. Hunting in Georgia. Hiking in Tennessee. Put on your boots. And if you know you scared, then just say you scared. Don't be a fool by making no moves. I'm out of your range. It's simple and plain. So go to the range and learn how to shoot. In case it pop off, don't get popped off. I'ma walk off. Yeah, I've been a ball. Go have some seats here. Go my receipts. Now check my resume. Yeah, I paid the cost.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
Okay, that was Memphis Moe and his song called Everything. And welcome back to Urban Society here on India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Okay, our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and let me know what you think on this topic in particular. Okay. So, as I was saying lastly about the three changes, or the three patterns of changing of the oppression that our elected leaders heap upon us in this country. And it's true. Don't think it's not. Like I said, slavery, there are all kinds of laws to keep us enslaved. And then the system of segregation, again, all kinds of laws to keep us segregated. Laws that were instituted in both instances. And the laws now, the school-to-prison pipeline, as it's called, to perpetuate the prison-industrial complex, or is it better said, to furnish bodies for the prison industrial complex. Furnish bodies, furnish workers, because that's what it is. Because it had been said before that slavery in this country was outlawed per the 13th Amendment, except for conditions of being punished for crime. So it is so that once a person is incarcerated, they then are allowed to be enslaved, to work for nothing or damn near nothing. Cents, not dollars, but cents. 9 cents an hour, 7 cents an hour. Outrageous, but it's like that. So concerning patterns of oppression changing, perhaps thinking in terms that Farrakhan speaks in, perhaps this judgment on this country hasn't come because the patterns of oppression keep changing, and therefore Allah, God, is confused about what's happening. Can we conceive that? If we can't conceive in God, that God could be confused? Utter nonsense, if we are to believe in the idea and or the concept of a God. But that's another issue about the belief or non-belief in a God. But yes, as I was saying, I really wonder why so many of us still listen to Farrakhan. I really do. I mean, I say that, but I must sound contradictory in having said that I listen to it. I don't know why I listen to him either. It's almost as if, what, I am programmed to listen to him? But no, it can't be that I'm actually programmed to listen to him, because I can listen to him at any time via YouTube on my laptop, but I don't. To be honest, I have listened to, well, some of his stuff on YouTube, but not recently. But then again, I could if I wanted to every day. But I don't. But I just wonder why. Maybe it's because I think he's going to say something. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why all of us do still listen to him. Or perhaps, I will say listen to him, not look forward to. But then again, there are those of us who do look forward to listening to him as well. But as I'm saying, I'm not of that latter category. No. I don't look forward to listening to him. But I listened to him, or I did listen to him on Saturday. All 2 hours of that speech, if it was 2 hours. I listened to it. Because, like I said, I guess I was listening to hear what he was saying, but then again, as I'm listening, I'm realizing, damn, he said all this before, and he's been saying this, the same thing, since what, the early 1970s? Because my first time hearing Farrakhan was on an album that a brother of mine had, and I think it was sometime, well, the album was recorded in 1973 or 74, and that was at something called a Black Family Day gathering at a place called Randall's Island here in New York. And at that point, I mean, a young guy I was what they call that, an adolescent, 14, 15 years old. It was new hearing what he was saying then. It was brand new. It was like, wow, who is this guy? Had never heard anyone speak like that before. But then as time went along, I guess I began to hear others speak, and I began to read more and things of that nature, and hadn't heard Farrakhan say anything for a while, maybe 2 decades. Like I said, that was in the 70s. The next time I heard Farrakhan speak was like in 1990. And I was quite surprised that what he was saying in 1990 hadn't changed from 1974. But here I had changed. I'm thinking, damn, he's still saying the same thing. And he was decked out in some kind of a long robe, and it looked like it was gold embroidered with some kind of hat on. Long story there, but again, he was just saying, I mean, I was totally disappointed. Because at that point I was looking forward to hearing what he had to say, based upon what I was going through and based upon what I was now knowing, and knowing what he had said before. I was really, seriously looking forward to hearing and listening to what he had to say. And after hearing what he said, I was so disappointed. It made me feel really alone. It did. It did. It made me feel alone. And that was the most depressing experience that I had there. And, well, further still in this article, well, not article, but on this issue about Farrakhan and the gathering down there in Washington, D.C., I on Facebook again, I was reading some guy's comment. I forget exactly how he had put his comment, but I had responded to his comment by saying that the question should be, why? And still, you know, why do we listen to Farrakhan? And then I wrote further, why does those of us who come from places far away from Washington, D.C., to listen to him? It's a phenomenon. Then I wrote further, I'm starting to think it really has little to do with him, but more of what he was part of decades ago and who it's known he was affiliated with. It's a possibility that many think Malcolm's legacy, that's Malcolm X, it's a possibility that many think Malcolm's legacy was passed on to Farrakhan. Perhaps this is why Farrakhan is so willing to speak good of Malcolm. Then, too, it so happens to be that Malcolm, though deceased, is bigger in the minds of those of us living than Farrakhan ever was and ever can be. That's an opinion of mine, definitely. And I also do think that that could be a possibility there as to why so many of us listen to Farrakhan or pause to hear what he's saying. Because we're really waiting to hear something from him. But yet I guess we don't realize that nothing is going to come from him. Not unless we are, how can I put it, not unless we are indoctrinated with his thoughts on the religion that he puts forth, that is his interpretation of Islam. If we are of that mindset and what he says concerning the ideological realm of that, I guess then, you know, there can be some relation. But no, I mean, not there. I'm not there. Perhaps I was at one point, but I passed that. I passed that point. I'm looking for different things now. Totally different things now. So as I said, unlike Malcolm, we were really listening to what Malcolm had to say and why he was saying what he was saying. But in the case of Farrakhan, I guess Farrakhan thinks he's saying things that Malcolm said. It may be true that he does say some things that Malcolm said, but he's only paying lip service to what Malcolm said in a real sense. Because he still talks about civil rights and then also human rights. Malcolm was talking that talk back in the 60s. About why take our situation to the courts of this country, the Supreme Court, the state courts, and so on and so forth. Why not take our case to the United Nations and charge this country with genocide? That's what Malcolm was saying way back then. And now it's like in this day, Farrakhan has taken up that that chant or that mindset. But as I said, I believe only in words. Only in words. And then, still going right along, I even went into some history there about the Nation of Islam, in a sense, and Malcolm and Farrakhan. because some guy there in the going back and forth on Facebook about that Farrakhan gathering yesterday, the Justice or Else March, and a lot of people support what he will support that event and think it had, how can I put it, think it has some kind of relevance. Okay, let me see what I had written here. Oh, yeah, okay. Someone had written something on Facebook about what Farrakhan had said concerning his mother having had tried to abort his life, as he said, three times. And one of the people on that thread had said that even if she had, there would have been someone else just as Farrakhan, even if Farrakhan hadn't been born. That sounds to me somewhat, you know, deterministic or like fated, stuff like that. This guy believes that even if Farrakhan had been aborted by his mother, that there would have been a Farrakhan anyway. It don't really make sense, but that's what he believes. I mean, that's along those deterministic type mindset, you know, believing that all things are preordained, things of that nature. You know, that everything in existence is here for a reason, things like that. You know, but just saying, I don't necessarily think like that. I believe that in a real sense, not that we are here for any particular purpose, but I do believe that being that we are here, we should seek to find a purpose or make a purpose for our being here. I'm also thinking like that. I guess some might say that I'm more prone to go along with the free will concept. Primarily because God is not in my thinking, primarily. But then again, if God was in my thinking, how could I not think then that things are predestined, predetermined? I'd have to think that. Anyway, what I said, what I had written back to this guy, I'm hearing this noise in my phone. I hope it's not going out over the air. The noise is somewhat worse than last week, but I thought that problem would have been taken care of. But I see that it's not. But it seems to have gone away right now. But anyway, what I had written in response to what that guy had said, I had written that that could be argued to the contrary, for it's really little known how much the Nation of Islam is indebted to Malcolm X. Malcolm is still known thanks to revisionist Nation of Islam leadership as one who spoke lies about their holy apostle, Elijah Muhammad. Yet yesterday, the truth of Malcolm's allegations were manifested to all of us. What were Malcolm's allegations? Elijah Muhammad had fathered several children by engaging in sexual relations with several of his own secretaries. Those in leadership positions of the Nation of Islam made it appear Malcolm was speaking blasphemy at that time, yet those who knew it was true. This was an issue, among other issues, that led the Nation of Islam turning its back on Malcolm and paved the way for Malcolm's assassination by the police agencies of our country. Farrakhan being appointed as Nation of Islam's national representative after Malcolm's forced ouster turned many of the Nation of Islam membership against Malcolm with his rhetorical abilities. Farrakhan is perpetrating a fraud. He thinks he's imitating Malcolm. I heard him use Malcolm's phrases yesterday. You've been tricked. You've been had. You've been bamboozled. Malcolm has spoken in his writing how he once had to tell one of his assistants to tell Minister Louis X of Boston to stop imitating him in his speaking. Minister Louis X, now known as Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's true. But again, you know, that goes back to the relationship that Malcolm and Farrakhan had. But I'll go into that when we come back from break, because it is 5 after the hour, and I'm going to see what Angela's going to send me about which song we're going to play now, if a song we're going to play now. So let us see what's going to happen before I go further. Okay, we are waiting. Okay, we're going to have a break now, and the song is going to be from none other than Nicki Minaj, entitled Dem Trini Girls. I think it's entitled Dem Trini Girls, D-E-M Trini Girls. So here we go, Nicki Minaj, Dem Trini Girls. We'll be right back.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Queens them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Trini them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Jamaican girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum.
Yo, he in love with a ghetto girl. He said he want a piece like Mother World. Pat pat on the kitty cat. He don't mess with them regulars. He tryna kick it like a ninja. He tryna take it like the Rangers. He don't ever play the benches, so I'ma let him touch it. They be playing with some engines.
I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you ready to come here and get it.
With it, I'd get them.
Bitch, them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a whine up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens, them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
Put it in his face like a cop badge. He wanna pun it like a hashtag. He gon' have to get the wash rag. If he shoot it up, I'ma bust back. Them island girls is the baddest. American girls run the planet. South African, European, Asian, Australian, and the Canadian.
Girl, I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you're ready to come here and get it.
With it, I'd get them.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Jamaican girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum.
All the bad boys try to push up on me. If you want a bad girl, come and spend his money. Say it tastes good, just like honey. In love with a girl from the islands and not a minute girl glow. I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you're ready to come here and get it. With it, I'd get them.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on India Morella Dollhouse Radio. And we just heard a song from Nicki Minaj entitled Dem Trini Girls. That was Nicki Minaj and Dem Trini Girls. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we're still on the issue of the Farrakhan gathering yesterday, 10-10-15, some call it, and or the Justice or Else March. So as I was lastly saying, I was speaking some history about the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, and Farrakhan in a real sense. And having said that, I will say also that I was quite surprised when reading that Malcolm and Farrakhan had known each other so well. I mean, it's understandable that they would know each other well in the sense that they both were a part of the same movement. But what really surprised me was having read that at one point, Farrakhan even lived in the same house with Malcolm. Because at one point, Malcolm, well, more so, Farrakhan was a student of Malcolm. Malcolm was, in a real sense, tutoring Farrakhan into the theology, if I can call it theology, of the Nation of Islam, the philosophy of Islam. And I guess at that point, Farrakhan, maybe he didn't have an actual place to live, because I guess the nation didn't have that much money at that point in time when it was in its beginning phases. So I guess they had to, you know, double up, so to speak. I mean, they had to help each other out. And based upon what I read, Farrakhan had even lived in Malcolm's house. Farrakhan's family, his wife, I forget if he had any children at that point, but Malcolm may have had one or two children of his own at that point, but I'm not sure if Farrakhan had any. But Farrakhan and his wife, if I'm not mistaken, they lived in the house with Malcolm. That's how close they were. And then as time went along, the way the history of the movement and their relationship went, as time went along, Farrakhan was sent to Boston to minister at the Boston Temple there. Because prior to that, if you might look at historical clippings or videos of that point in time, you might see when Malcolm X was speaking, Farrakhan was in the background, clapping his hands and smiling at what Malcolm was saying and really, you know, just, you know, being really, really elated and being around Malcolm and listening to what Malcolm was saying and thrilled that this black man was saying what he was saying and loving what Malcolm was saying. If you look at some of those early videos with Malcolm, those that were recorded, you'll see Farrakhan there. So it's true, yes, they were tight like that. But as time went along, and then jealousy began to set in, according to Malcolm in his autobiography, as jealousy began to set in between him and other people in the higher echelons of the Nation of Islam movement, because Malcolm was getting, as Malcolm said, because, you know, he was getting so much press, the news cameras were always in his face, the reporters always had microphones thrust up to his mouth, but why not? Or how could it not be? Being at that point, Malcolm X was the national representative for the Nation of Islam. And he did his job well. That's without a doubt. But anyway, like I said, due to the jealousy of those around Malcolm, they felt that too much attention was being given to Malcolm, and not enough attention was being given to Elijah Muhammad. And furthermore, they felt that Elijah was looking at Malcolm more than he was looking at any of the others of them. The jealousy, the envy kicked in. So as time goes further along, someone comes to Malcolm about these illegitimate children that it's reported that Elijah Muhammad has. And how it was that him having these children came about. And remember, Elijah Muhammad was married, but yet there he was around these other women, as Malcolm put it, young girls, his Elijah Muhammad's secretaries. And he, you know, doing what he did and got them pregnant. And Malcolm felt that, you know, once this news came to him, he heard it, but he did some investigating and found out that it was true. And he was thinking that if the press gets wind of this, based upon how they were always trying to discredit the work of Elijah Muhammad, trying to discredit the work that Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam was doing, he figured if the press got word of this, they really ruin all the good work that had been achieved thus far. So Malcolm figured, so the story goes, and Malcolm even wrote about this in his autobiography. This can be checked out, read about. Malcolm felt that he ought to go around to the other ministers and find out what they knew and or if they knew about what he was told and about what he now knows. And then the way Malcolm tells it, there were those whom he had approached and asked or told them this information. These people flipped it on Malcolm and began to say that Malcolm was going around telling lies about the messenger of Allah. That Malcolm was going around, you know, blaspheming, committing blasphemy against Allah's messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it said that he had even gone to Farrakhan about what he knew and have found out to be a fact. And Farrakhan told him that he already knew. Well, matter of fact, most of the people that Malcolm had approached had told him that they already knew about this. So in a sense, Malcolm, doing all the work that he was doing for the Nation of Islam, you know, going hither and thither and just representing the Nation of Islam and Elijah Muhammad to the best of his ability, hard working. He didn't have time for all the gossip and all the other things. So he was in the dark. He didn't know about these things, but everybody else did but him. That's how hard the man was working for the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X. Outrageous. But anyway, so as I said, and it's documented, because I'm talking about Farrakhan, it was said that when Malcolm told Farrakhan this, Farrakhan also had said that he already knew. And then, as we know, going on further, after John F. Kennedy had been assassinated, and it was said to Malcolm by Elijah Muhammad that it's best not to say nothing about the killing of President Kennedy, that don't say anything. But as we know, a question was asked Malcolm about the assassination, then Malcolm said what he said, in terms of it's nothing but a clear case of chickens coming home to roost. After all, our government was going throughout the world murdering other world leaders, our government, our CIA, our police agencies, doing this to other nationals. So what happened to them only came back and happened to us here. And the killing of our president, our CIA and police agencies did that. And because once that happened, that's when Malcolm was silenced. And then that's when all the stuff hit the fan. It was at that point when Malcolm was supposedly silenced for 90 days. So it was said, Malcolm, you know, suspended for 90 days, silenced for 90 days, stuff like that. It was said then that's when the snakes in the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan included, began to come up and hiss at him, began to, you know, hiss in the Nation of Islam followers' ears about what Malcolm was and what Malcolm wasn't, calling Malcolm a traitor, a Judas. And like I said, Farrakhan, based on his rhetorical abilities, he really tore into Malcolm. But remember, Farrakhan once lived in Malcolm's house. He was a guest. Malcolm had Farrakhan as a guest in his house. And further, Farrakhan was a student of Malcolm. And it was also said, I think I already said how it was said, because I had read that in what I had written about how Malcolm had told one of his assistants to go to Boston and tell Louis X to stop imitating him. You know, in other words, to get his own style, his own form of delivering the message of Islam. Because Farrakhan, you know, was such a student of Malcolm, he even sought to imitate Malcolm's mannerisms, Malcolm's mode of speaking, his hand gestures and all that. But Malcolm had to tell him, you know, get your own mode of speaking. Don't copy me. Be yourself. And I guess eventually Farrakhan did do that. And, he is. You got to give him that. He is a gifted speaker. He has the gift of rhetoric. Farrakhan does. But again, that's how it was between Malcolm and Farrakhan. And I said, Farrakhan was the main one out front, because after Malcolm had lost his position, Farrakhan then became the national representative for the Nation of Islam. They even moved him from Boston, from the Boston Temple in Boston, and moved him to the New York Temple, number 7 in Harlem, which was the temple that Malcolm spoke out of. being that Malcolm was no longer there, they put Farrakhan there at Temple Number 7 in Harlem, a very vibrant temple, one of the main temples of the Nation of Islam here in America, the Temple Number 7 there in Harlem. That's the way it was. And like I said, Farrakhan was one of the main critics of Malcolm, telling the followers that if you knew what Malcolm did, you kill him yourself. If you knew what Malcolm said about the messenger, you kill him yourself. You cut out his tongue yourself. And, you know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, they were setting the stage for Malcolm's assassination. Well, not setting the stage per se for Malcolm's assassination, but for Malcolm to be assassinated and for them themselves, that is the Nation of Islam, to be blamed for having killed Malcolm, which is exactly the way it went. Because after Malcolm was killed, everybody thought it was the Nation of Islam who had killed Malcolm. But, however, if people had really read, in my opinion, if people had really read the autobiography of Malcolm X, even in his book, he himself has said that for a long time, he too had thought that it was the Nation of Islam that was trying to kill him. But he said that what had changed his mind was when he had been invited to speak in France. And when his plane got to France, he wasn't allowed to disembark. And it was at that point that he knew the Nation of Islam didn't have that kind of far-reaching power to keep him out of France. And then he began to realize that it was higher or bigger than the Nation of Islam as to what was happening to him. Much bigger. And then that's when he began to say that it was more so the police agencies of our country, FBI, CIA, and local police agencies in New York and throughout this country. He was followed everywhere. And then when he was killed, as I said, it was only natural that people knowing what was going on, but not knowing what was going on behind the scenes, how could we not help to think that it was the Nation of Islam that had killed Malcolm? But then again, you know, as is always said, the truth will out. It certainly will. The truth will out eventually. And it came to be that this truth about who really killed Malcolm did come out. But still, many people today still believe that it was the Nation of Islam who killed Malcolm and not our government. They refuse to believe that our government would kill Malcolm X. But one thing that I came to realize about Malcolm was that, in a real sense, so long as he was talking that Nation of Islam ideology, reciting the history of Yaqub, and talking the white man is the devil nonsense, he was good to go. He was allowed to speak like that, no matter where he went. But yet, when he began to speak political, not talking about the white man as the devil, not talking about Yaqub's history, not talking about what was written in Message to the Black Man, the book that Elijah Muhammad put out, or the Nation of Islam had put out under Elijah Muhammad's name, when he began to talk over, or not about those things, but began to speak about issues that were in fact affecting Black America, that's when he became a danger. That's when he began to be watched. But so long as he was talking that religious nonsense, he was good to go. Okay, we got about a minute. We're coming up on another break. But as I said, I'm going to come back to this point that I'm speaking on now. But so long as Malcolm was talking that NOI theology or ideology, he was good to go. But as soon as he began to get political and not talk so much about God, but more so, here we go. We have to go to our break. It's currently 25 after the hour. So we're going to hear a song right now from Raphael. This song is entitled Working for the Devil. This is Raphael, Working for the Devil. We'll be right back.
Brown skin, soft smile, just look at you, girl. Breaking rules, don't you make me throw this book at you, girl. Your booty, switch around, must know I look at you, girl. How'd you ever get so perfect? I mean, look at you, girl. Who you working for? Tell me who you working for. Who you working for? Tell me who you working for. Who you working for? Tell me who you working for. Who you working for? You must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for him. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for. You must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You're way too perfect. You're way too perfect. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. I see the horns. It's in your charm. Girl, it's in the way that you move your hips. Usually in control, why I feel like this. Shot to Amaretto, got me thinking I'm rich. Make me wanna throw it all, what you put in my drink. You stare me in my eyes while you arch your back. Had kids, baby, how your body heal like that? Usually it's fuck women and get money, but tonight, I don't feel like that. Lights down low, it feel like a vacation. Things kinda change when you find out I'm Haitian. You know I would throw a couple bands, throw a couple bands. Baby, I'm a fan, baby, do your thing. No, I understand you the mug devil, full-blooded rebel. Trying to seduce my pockets, I'd be damned if I let you. But you don't even let me get my word in this discussion. You pour me a couple shots, get on the pole and get the bus. And I be trying to fight back, pop, pop. I don't wanna throw it, drop, drop. Pour a couple shots, shot, shots. I cannot control it, pop, pop. Effort, I'ma blow it, I got way more money, I'll figure out something. Shouldn't have trusted this girl for nothing. Once I found out who she working for, you must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for him. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for. You must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You're way too perfect. You're way too perfect. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. I see the horns. It's in your charm.
Wait, wait, wait. I don't even know what to say, say, say. Watching you do whatever it takes, takes, takes. A struggle not to give it all away, wait, wait. You lying if you say you can't relate, late, late. Might be fake, fake, fake. Or gay, gay, gay. I ain't judging. But if you telling me that you don't feel some type of way, when she dance some type of way, move her ass some type of way. Why you came in here today? Throwing bands like you throw fits. When you pop it, I don't flinch. It's just me, myself, and almost called your ass a bitch. But you probably like that shit, right? Long as I put bad in front of it, right? Whispered in my ear to make you quit, right? Stop playing baby girl because I just might. Knowing me, when I step into my senses, you'll be back up on a pole by the next night.
Dealer of the devil, your body's what you're selling.
I'm just trying to find a deal for you and your friend. This ain't gon' end. Know that my morals are clear, but none of my morals are here. Once I found out who she working for.
You must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for him. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. You working for him. You working for. You must be working for the devil. You working for the devil. You're way too perfect. You're way too perfect. You working for the devil. You working for the devil. I see the horns. It's in your charm.
Raphael, can't you tell?
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on N.D. Morel's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Raphael entitled Working for the Devil. That's Raphael Working for the Devil. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we're still here on the Farrakhan Gathering, as I'm calling it derisively, Farrakhan Gathering, and or 10-10-15, as some call it, and then also, as some also call it, the Justice or Else March. And I'm right now talking about some history here concerning the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, and Louis Farrakhan. But also, you know, in terms of the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan, in a real sense, you know, one can't really talk about either of those without talking about Malcolm X also. And then that also is talking about Malcolm X in a positive light. Although in this day, because of the revisionist history that's put forth now by the by those in leadership positions of the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan included, they speak some good about Malcolm, but they speak more ill of him because they still consider him a traitor, a backstabber, Benedict Arnold, someone who betrayed the nation, which is just not true. And just saying, a case in point, because in a real sense, they say those things about him primarily because of what they said he was saying about the messenger of Allah, Elijah Muhammad, Allah's servant, the last messenger, and so on and so forth. They were saying that Malcolm was saying that he had fathered several illegitimate children. But also concerning that, I recall yesterday when Farrakhan was speaking, he did speak about Malcolm X, but he spoke about Malcolm in the sense of the assassination, of Malcolm's assassination, and to absolve himself of any part in that assassination. Which is true, that is that he really had no part in pulling the trigger, Farrakhan, nor the Nation of Islam did not. But again, they helped create the atmosphere for his assassination, and unbeknownst to them, they were creating the atmosphere for Malcolm's assassination and for it to look like that they themselves had killed Malcolm. They didn't know that part. Because like Malcolm said a long time ago when he was here, some things that are going down, brothers and sisters, you think that they're on the level, but in reality, they are as crooked as a pretzel. And that was a real case in point right there when they killed him and blamed the Nation of Islam for him having been killed. Anyway, like I said, the atmosphere was being set primarily, as they were saying, because he was spreading falsehoods about Elijah Muhammad fathering illegitimate children by those young secretaries of his. There he is, a 74-year-old man, or however old he was at that time, you know, playing around with 20-year-old girls and I guess 19. Well, you know, girls of that age, they weren't in the 30s or 40s. Young girls, basically. But anyway, I had also written here that in reference to having heard what Farrakhan had said, and looking at him also, hearing what he said, and then seeing how he was bringing up on the platform all of, he was saying, Elijah Muhammad's children. And those weren't children from Elijah Muhammad's wife. Those were children from those women that Malcolm was saying that Elijah Muhammad had fathered. It's like now can be admitted to. Well, it's not really admitted to because they didn't say all that. But it's obvious to a duck what it is and or what it wasn't. I'll put it like that. But however, back then, this was totally denied that Elijah had any children outside of those he had from his wife, Sister Clara Muhammad. I remember her name is Sister Clara Muhammad, his original wife. But anyway, what I had written that Malcolm's trouble started when he got information about the inception of the lineage Farrakhan so proudly paraded before our eyes yesterday. How Things Change reminds me of the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. Remember, 4 feet good, 2 feet bad? After a while, pigs changed the slogan to 2 feet bad, 4 feet good. Malcolm is in his grave now. In reference to the Animal Farm analogy there, I'm talking about how how it was said in Animal Farm, it was a political satire, that's what it was, from George Orwell. He wrote how the animals in Animal Farm were oppressed, so to speak. That's how he wrote it. And as you know, all animals have 4 feet, correct, and all humans have 2 feet. So once the animals had revolted and chased the humans off the farm, the animals were now liberated, and now they were in charge of the farm. And the animals now were making laws for themselves, and it happened to have been that the pigs of all the animals were in charge, the pigs, the hogs, the pigs were in charge of, they were considered the intelligent one, the pigs. So anyway, the way Animal Farm goes, they would write things on the wall to have the animals, well, they would write like on a blackboard, so to speak, the animals would come there every day to read what was written. And they would write on that board, 4 feet good, 2 feet bad. All the time, they write 4 feet good, 2 feet bad, because all animals have 4 feet, and they also said that all animals are created equal, things of that nature, you know. And I said, the 4 feet good, 2 feet bad. However, there came a time when change happened, when the pigs began to collaborate with the humans, because Animal Farm was now being productive, and the humans, they wanted in on some of the productivity coming forth from Animal Farm. So, and the thing was, it's supposed to be no contact with humans. That was also a part of the rules and agreement of Animal Farm, keep the humans out. But the pig decided, well, we'll talk with the humans. And sure enough, as time went along, as I said also, the animals would come every day to the barn door and read on a sign where it said 4 feet good, 2 feet bad. But when they came to the barn, and the slogan had changed. The slogan had changed from 4 feet bad, 2 feet good. And they said, oh, shit. But anyway, that's the way it happened. So I'm saying that in reference to when I had observed that yesterday on the podium of Farrakhan bringing all of Elijah Muhammad's children, we can say illegitimate children, up to the rostrum. But at the same time, I'm thinking, these are the kids that Malcolm accused Elijah Muhammad of having had. And they said that Malcolm was spreading lies about the messenger, speaking blasphemy against the messenger, and how his tongue should be cut out for speaking such lies about the messenger. Outrageous, just out and outrageous. But that's what happened. That's what happened. And then, now Farrakhan is in the lead of this movement. But there was a time also when W.D. Muhammad was there, but that's another issue. But anyway, but still, I just wonder why it is that we still keep giving our ears to Farrakhan. I don't think I will anymore myself. I really don't. If he have another one of these marches next year or 2 years or 4 years hence, I'm going to make it a point not to listen, because it's going to be the same thing. I mean, justice or else. I mean, many of us were thinking that he was going to say something other than what he did say, especially in light of the police killings, the astronomical amount of police killings recently, in recent months, years, and they don't stop. Many of us were thinking at least that Farrakhan was going to say something about that, and, you know, offer some remedy for us to administer. I mean, coming up to the march, he was talking about some kind of remedy and about how the Quran had a prescription and stuff of that nature. But he spoke none of that yesterday. None of that. Instead, what did he fall back on? He fell back on the or else, justice or else. If no justice, then God is going to send rains and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and storms like we've never seen. We've heard that before. But okay, and he's saying it again. And I mean, people really went all the way out there to Washington, D.C. to hear that, to just hear that. God bless them. And I watched it for a whole hour and a half listening to that. But then again, I kind of tell myself, well, in the real sense, it's no different than you know, the sports enthusiasts among us who will sit and watch a whole football game or a golf game for 2 hours. Same thing, but different. Anyway, also, in reference to Farrakhan and the gathering, after I seen it, as usual, some words of Shakespeare I want to read, and I find that they are fitting here. They're from Shakespeare's play Macbeth, and you all can look it up if you want to. It's even written here. It's Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 5, where he says, There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's what it was yesterday. Farrakhan, a lot of sound and fury, signifying nothing. But okay, that was that. I'm the Farrakhan gathering. And I'm moving on in. I stayed a whole lot of time on that issue. Got me sweating. Oh, my God. But anyway, because it's hot in here. And that's a blessing. It's hot in my apartment here. And I like that. That's indicative that the heat is on. Normally, they don't turn the heat on to around October 15th up this way. But God bless, the heat is on. I was whatever. But anyway, I also have wanted to touch on, because evidently I'm not going to get to some of the other issues that I wanted to have gotten to, because I want to get to some other things also, some other things that happened to have popped up in the news throughout the week. And one of the things was about this Rupert Murdoch guy. They say that he is a media, what do they call him? A media, the word isn't conglomerate, but a media mogul, however they pronounce that word. Anyway, he has a lot to do with media and concerning, you know, what we see, what we hear in this country and also throughout other parts of the world. And he's also I guess he has a lot to do with Fox News. I guess he owns that, the airways of Fox News in particular. And he probably has he probably has his hand in other media outlets as well. But it's out evidence, so it's been said that he owns Fox News. But anyway, some controversy came up over this guy, Rupert Murdoch, when he was talking about Ben Carson. Let me read here what I have here. It says that the firestorm response to Rupert Murdoch's tweet that hailed Dr. Ben Carson as a real black president included strong response from one CNN contributor on Wednesday. Van Jones, a black political analyst and former environmental advisor to President Obama, ripped Murdoch's comments as juvenile and disgusting, suggesting they put both the media mogul, see, there's that word, suggesting that they put both the media moguls and Fox News values on full display, as if nobody didn't know already. If Murdoch cares about black people, this is Van Jones talking, if Murdoch cares about black people, he should tell the people at Fox News he does so, because you can't tell by watching, Jones told Don Lemon. Now, a question could be, why would Van Jones all of a sudden, you know, think that Murdoch cares about black people? I guess he's being facetious and or rhetorical. Anyway, the article goes further to say that how can you have someone like Rupert Murdoch, with all his wealth and power, stoop so low to challenge somebody's ethnicity? I don't really see where he had challenged President Obama's ethnicity. That's not what I read, based upon what I read concerning what this guy, Rupert Murdoch, has said. Anyway, Jones, now it says something about what Van Jones did, well, what he was. It says, Jones, who was a frequent guest on CNN during racially sensitive, well, let me read that again. Jones, who was a frequent guest on CNN during racially sensitive stories in Ferguson and Baltimore, claim Fox News has done everything in its power to undermine America's real black president, President Obama. He concluded that Fox News has been an enemy of African American struggles since it started. That's interesting right there. Well, one of many things interesting that this article did point out was that that Jones, it says, a frequent guest on CNN, but check that out. He's a frequent guest on CNN during racially sensitive stories, And they said a frequent guest, which would indicate that what? That a lot of racially sensitive stories take place, a lot. But then again, also, I've also once mentioned that to someone else earlier, and that is that, in a real sense, and most unfortunate, that the only time we really do see more than one or two black people on a news outlet media show, television, is if some black person is murdered or some egregious act has been committed against some black person by some white person. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like the white newsroom is like, how can this have happened? What's wrong out there? And then it's then that they bring people like Van Jones on, or even that that lawyer, I forget his name right now, but he was there at the Farrakhan gathering yesterday. Ben Crump, I figured his name would come to me, Ben Crump, that's when they bring him on, and then, you know, a whole host of other, you know, black faces, but no other time until then. It's like we're not only invisible, but non-existent until then. It's almost, I guess possibly they do that because they already know what the average white person is going to say about what has just gone down. But because they want a different perspective on what has just gone down, they know who to call. Understand what I just said? They know who to call when they want a different perspective on some egregious action that has taken place against some black person. They know who to call because they want other than the one or two blacks that they normally have up there every day. Interesting, and it's somewhat insulting too, but that's another issue there. But that is an issue. And then also, like I said, I guess Van Jones. Well, maybe he just wanted to. Well, again, I guess they called him because Rupert Murdoch has said this, and they wanted to get a black person's take on what Rupert Murdoch had said. And Van Jones just came back by saying, as I said, more so saying as I read, that he felt it was juvenile and disgusting. I don't see where it was juvenile. Well, I guess those are other words to describe what I would use different words in describing. I just say it was just racist of him, primarily racist and ignorant and typical and not surprising. Because in essence, I also had somebody else had posted this on Facebook, and what I wrote in response to that was that all Murdoch is saying is Ben Carson is the kind of black person he feel better relating to. President Obama is an insult to Murdoch and his ilk. To those of the racist mindset of a Murdoch, President Obama is considered arrogant. And one of my Facebook friends said, you mean uppity also? Yes, exactly. To the racist mindset, President Obama He's considered the epitome of arrogance, the epitome of arrogance, and considered being uppity, out of his place. He doesn't show the proper, well, proper, should I say it like that? No, I'm not going to use the word proper. I'm just going to say to them, they see that President Obama don't show them the deference that they are accustomed to from black people. President Obama don't show them that in mannerisms nor in tone. He does not. But somebody like a Ben Carson, he can't help but be like that because that's the way he is. He is one of those Negroes. I won't call him a black person because I wouldn't give him that kind of respect, call him a black person. He is one of those Negroes. Yes, he is. Ben Carson is one of those Negroes. Especially him saying stuff like we've heard him say. But then again, that does go back into saying what I was saying on one of the other shows I had done in reference to Ben Carson and him. You know, I give him credit for him being the neurosurgeon that he is. Can't take that from him. But he ought to stay within that sphere and not try to, I guess, enter into the sociological sphere. I mean, no doubt Ben Carson can be as intellectual as he want to be in his sphere, that is, around other neurosurgeons. But outside that field, he get lost. He is lost. That's one of those situations. And therefore, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know how his Caucasian colleagues respond to him in his field, nor do I know how he responds to his Caucasian colleagues in that field. I don't know if in his own field, if they see him as arrogant. I don't know that. I don't know if they see him as, I don't know if they see him being black, being haughty or arrogant. I don't know that. And then, too, I don't know if they have the sense that though he's educated as he is, knowing what he knows, he still knows his place being black in this country or this world. I don't know that. I don't know that. But time will tell. But again, based upon stuff that he says, I wouldn't be surprised if he is that kind of Negro who knows his place and searches for his place. Really. I mean, search for his place because he don't want to be out of place. He don't want to be offending. Not that he is in any way, but that's another issue there. Outrageous. Outrageous. So that was that article. And we're running out of time here. We got a few minutes left. But I also wanted to bring up this other issue. It's a small issue. It's not as deep as the issue of the new evidence in the Tamir Rice situation. But then again, yes, I will go into that because I can just as well bring up this other issue next week. But with Tamir Rice, it said here that two outside investigators looking into the death of Tamir Rice have concluded that a Cleveland police officer, Tim Lohman, acted reasonably in deciding last year to shoot when he confronted the 12-year-old boy carrying what turned out to be a replica gun. You all heard that, right? It goes further. It says, those opinions reached separately by a Colorado prosecutor and a former FBI supervisory special agent were released Saturday night by the Cuyahoga County prosecutor, Timothy J. McGinty, whose office will ultimately present evidence in the case to a grand jury to decide on possible criminal charges. The article goes further to say, the question is not whether every officer would have reacted the same way Kimberly A. Crawford, the retired FBI agent, which noted that Officer Lohman had no way of knowing Tamir's gun was fake. Rather, the relevant inquiry is whether a reasonable officer confronting the exact same scenario under identical conditions could have concluded that deadly force was necessary. A lot of suppositions in there, and a lot of subjective thinking in there. But the article goes further. It says the reports which were commissioned by the prosecutor's office comes almost 11 months after the shooting outside of a recreation center on November 22nd, 2014. Footage of the shooting was captured on a surveillance camera, and Tamir's name quickly became among the most prominent in a series of black men and boys whose deaths at the hands of police were memorialized in Twitter hashtags and protest chants. The article goes further to say that both Ms. Crawford and S. Lamar Sims, the prosecutor from Colorado, said in their reports that they were evaluating Officer Lohman's actions under the United States Constitution, not Ohio state law. Now, when they talk about they were evaluating this Officer Lohman's actions under the United States Constitution and not under Ohio state law, to just jump quickly, they are talking about the Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment says here that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things. Now, those of us who can read, we know what that means, but then again, they throw that issue of subjectivity in there as well, wherein they leave it up to the officer's interpretation as to what is reasonable or unreasonable. They leave it up to his interpretation. But then again, that's only because they consider that officer, they're already giving him the benefit of him or her, the benefit of the doubt of being a reasonable human being. But, you know, when I read that, when I was reading this article, and being that they threw the Fourth Amendment in there on me or us, I'll say that I also thought about the 14th Amendment, which to me not necessarily contradicts the Fourth Amendment, but it gives greater freedoms to individuals in this country. And it says here concerning the 14th Amendment that the 14th Amendment granted citizenship to all persons born or naturalized in the United States, which included former slaves recently freed. In addition, it forbids states from denying any person life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of law, which in my case, being that I think the 14th Amendment supersedes the Fourth Amendment in the sense of, if nothing else, Tamir Rice's 14th Amendment was violated because they deprived him of life without due process of law. The police officer is supposed to arrest him and take him before what they call an adjudicator so he can be processed properly by the administration of law, so to speak. But okay, I see now that I probably have less than a minute, and I didn't even get to read more of that article. But we had I think we had a nice conversation anyway. I hope that you all had, I won't say fun, but that you all had, I guess, what can I say, that you all listened well to what I did have to say. So with that having been said, I'm going to say we'll hear us next week. And this is Urban Society signing off, and you'll have a good week and a good night.
Baby, you.